Aside from that, I want to welcome our members, guests, and our visitors. We thank you for being here with us this morning. It means a lot to us in accomplishing the mission that we have here at this local congregation, not only individually between ourselves, but out in the community as well. One of the things I want to talk about this morning is kind of is Christianity in general. We've got a lot on our plate when it comes to being a Christian, responsibilities that we have and what we're supposed to accomplish. And in that walk, I'd like to focus on this idea right here. When we fall off the path, I'm sure there's been plenty of times where we're looking at ourselves, we find that ourselves, we've strayed from the truth for one reason or the other. We're finding reasons not to serve. We're finding reasons not to work. When we're weak. Life indeed does happen, but we have to understand that that's not an excuse. Right? I also want to highlight in helping build this lesson, by the way, I use this book right here. It's called Discipline Equals Freedom by Jocko Willink. I encourage everyone to get a copy of this. It's audiobook. And I think it really applies to what we should do as Christians when we fall off the path. One of the things that we do when we fall off the path, sometimes we find ourselves asking, you know, particular questions. We look at the past to understand the future. For example, you may say that I found Jesus. You know, I remember when I became a part of the church. It changed my life. I was excited and I shared the message with everyone. Remember when he made it to church and on time. And he wanted to make a difference. Sometimes we ask ourselves that question when we're falling off the path. Because we know from where we came. We were once out in the world, right? And we lived like the world. And when we put on Christ, we said that was going to be it. And that we weren't going to do what we did in our old lives. Sorry. Not having my Bible really has messed me up. So you know. One of the things that we should always do, though, is consider our situation, consider where we're at. Have we just decided to give up? Or should you just give up once you find yourself outside of Christ? I'd say the answer is no. Instead, you need to recognize when you're lost. Now, when you look at this picture, there's a little joke in here that, you know, only if you're military you would know. Okay? You can't tell what the picture is because this is a second lieutenant, okay, in the picture. And the joke is about second lieutenants is that they're going to get you lost. Alright? And so the picture's created that way to help you understand, don't be like a second lieutenant. But really, the idea is that we don't play games when we're lost. We have to get serious, right? Who is the lost? Well, let's look at Romans 1 through 18. I'm sorry, 1:18 through 32. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations. Their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So we shouldn't play games when it comes to falling off the path and realizing that we're actually lost. That's one of the ways you recognize that you are lost, is to understand Romans 1. What does God look at in terms of, and what does He understand to be a sinful, ungodly person? This isn't a conclusive list, but it lists a whole lot. We also know that if we look at Luke 7, in terms of the Pharisees, when you're lost, you have bad judgment. Unfortunately for the Pharisees, they had bad judgment nearly all the time. They were supposed to be the religious leaders, those that were held up in the community. But guess what? Jesus never failed to prove them that they were fools themselves. In this instance that I'm speaking of here in Luke 7, they were giving grief to the woman who washed Jesus' feet with oils. The Pharisees tried to shame her. But the truth of the matter is the shame was on them because they hadn't even got up and served Jesus. The other idea in understanding when you're lost is understanding the consequences when you're lost. Peter 2:21. You'll flip over there with me. Second Peter 2:21. There's more to consequences than I think we really understand that there are and disobeying God. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to its wallowing in the mire. And we also understand that Scripture also says that it would be better that a millstone were hung around your neck and you're cast into the water, as opposed to turn away from Jesus once you've already accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. Matthew 24:45. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them proper food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, "My master is not coming for a long time," and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's no joke. It's nothing to play with. Understand the consequences of being in sin. And just so you know, if we are sitting in the pews today and we're kind of perhaps cringing a little bit one way or the other, just know that this lesson is for me just as much as it is anybody else. Because I've had to do that realization. I had to do that check. I had to recognize the times in my life that I was lost. And it's a really hard pill to swallow. But you know what I didn't want? What I didn't want is to be rewarded the consequences of my sin. So what do we do? What do you do when you recognize that you're lost? Understand that nothing gets done if nothing is done. Right? So be brave. Turn with me to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Of course, we sing the song about that, but you understand how powerful that really is. Okay? When you're faced with trial and temptation, when you've fallen off the track, understand God's given you a way out. You just got to be willing to face that head on. You got to be willing to accept that, hey, I was wrong and I shouldn't be living the way I was trying to live. So what do? You knock on that door. In Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Take the time while you're getting your courage together to knock on that door. That door that we knock on is prayer. Asking Jesus and God for help and strength and mercy and kindness and wisdom and understanding when we come into these trials. It's also leaning on your brothers and sisters. We'll get to you here in just a second. But we should be excited and be focused and don't wait on something to happen. Again, nothing gets done if nothing is done. One of the great things that I like about the Ethiopian eunuch story here in Acts 31 through 39 is that it only took just a little bit of time for Philip to be called to the eunuch. And whether they were exchanging, there's been some questions on whether the Ethiopian eunuch really understood what he was reading, and they were just kind of basically trying to get permission to talk to each other one way or the other, or he really didn't understand. The fact is whenever he was preached to by Philip, he gladly accepted what Philip had said, which was to be baptized. In the very first sight of water, he asked, "What can you do to be baptized?" And they went down, and of course we know he went away rejoicing after he came up out of the water. He didn't wait. So with that, you've got to be a doer. Matthew 7:24-27. Turn with me there. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, I'll just finish reading 27 here. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You can build your house on the sand. You cannot come to Jesus and ask Him for forgiveness of your sin. Okay? You can be stagnant. You can decide you're not going to do anything to take care of your situation. But in every example that we have, we always see that it's up to the individual to get out and do something. So we should build our houses. We should be building our houses on that solid rock. Right? We should be taking the time to lean on one another, to bear one another's burdens. And with that, we take the action to change our position. So what about shortcuts? Anybody like shortcuts here? I like shortcuts. But you know what? Well, actually, there's a lot of people that like shortcuts right through the parking lot from that side to this side. All right? But the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, is that there is no shortcut or hack. We have the internet full of YouTube videos about this hack or that hack. But what we have to know is that hack doesn't get you to where you want to be. Right? That road won't take you where you want to go. Why? Because that's not how God designed it. When we look at this picture right here, I thought this was a pretty compelling picture. I believe this is supposed to be Jesus coming down off the cross. There was no hack for Jesus. Just like we sang in 10,000 Angels, He could have called 10,000 angels and destroyed the world, but He didn't. And why not? Because this right here, had to be done. Someone had to be that sacrifice. Someone had to live that perfect life. And that was Jesus. So what works? Hard work. A lot of people don't think that being a Christian is hard work, but it is to a degree. If you look at individual commandments, let me qualify this. If you look at the individual commandments, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, obey me, love, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those really aren't hard. What's hard is when we don't set ourselves aside individually and do what God has asked us to do. But there is hard work. The hard work is reading and the application of the truth. And sometimes that's going to take late nights or early mornings, for that matter. I don't have time to get in my Bible and read. Why not? Why not? because you're not making the time. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to, is you're not making the time. I don't want to sin anymore. What do I have to do to not sin anymore? Quit sinning, whatever that is. How do I love my family more? You love your family more. And yes, that takes hard work. And that takes dedication. That takes going in after it every day. That's the toil and the sweat. The unwavering discipline, though, is what I'm really talking about. About what will get you there. So we keep His commandments, which is the best and biggest solution that we have. John 14, 15 through 32. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. As the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that it is said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it happens, so that it happens you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up and let's go from here. Don't lean on your own understanding. I think this is probably, at least for me, it's been the one that I like to say doesn't apply to me, but at the same time I say it doesn't apply to me, it's probably the one most applicable to me. It doesn't mean that I'm necessarily taking God's word and just throwing it out, you know, the window. But I'm not seeking God like I should. Okay? I'm not seeking counsel from other members of the church. I'm not praying. Those are the things that I've seen in the past, right? Don't lean on your own understanding. It doesn't do you any good. And there's something I've said in class several times now, is that God repeats Himself if you want something known. And you're supposed to use your brothers and sisters. That's one of his repeated messages. You're supposed to pray. Ask for wisdom and strength. And love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Share your troubles. Sharpen the iron. Iron sharpens iron, right? 1 Peter 2:17. Proverbs 27:17. What I would say is, iron sharpening iron is very critical to growing and developing as a Christian. It helps you learn to speak to others about sinful things or things that may be causing you to be weak. Yeah, it kind of helps you be vulnerable a little bit. And we should be. Sometimes we can put up an iron curtain, if you will, and we don't want to let anybody in, because if somebody truly knew how I was, they would think bad about me. But I can say from experience, those people already know, typically. And so lean on your brothers and sisters and ask them for that encouragement to get you through the next time, the next challenge. So to wrap up here, let's think about a few things. If we're falling off the path, be quick to assess your situation. That is going to be the first way you know. In fact, it's going to be the first way that you know that you're being honest with yourself, is assess your situation. If you can ignore it, you can definitely ignore you're going down the wrong path. But that's not a good place for you to be. Be honest with yourself. Assess your situation. If you're lost, say so. Face your fears. Maybe you have a problem with drinking. Maybe you have a problem with adultery or pornography. We can list them all out here, but we're not going to take the time. But you understand the point. Face your fears. Okay? Know that you may be doing all of those things in secret, but nothing is done in secret. God knows all. And so what you should do is you should be calling your brothers and sisters in Christ, asking them for help. You should be reading. There should be a daily thing that you do. It should be a routine. Like Matt talked about the coffee earlier. I'm a fan of coffee, believe me. I love coffee. But I need to be drinking this in before I drink my cup of coffee. Maybe at the same time, but you get the point. All right? Face your fears. Get in there and fight the fight. God's asked us to be soldiers, right? Soldiers of Christ. Soldiers of Christ arise. It's always a great, great hymn. I can tell you, as a former soldier myself, there's a lot of things in life that can be scary. Death seems scary. But if you go out and you fight the fight with courage and fortitude with your other brothers and sisters in Christ, guess what? That battle's not near as hard. So be ready to ask for that help. Be excited to get going and get that work done. Grind through the hard times. Sometimes, I've been asked several times about my experience in Iraq, and what does it take to go through combat? Well, some may disagree with me, but after a period of time, it's honestly just like you're waking up here in the States. It's obviously a little bit more dangerous, and you've got, you know, different things that you have to accomplish. But what do? You grind. You get, you know, it's hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year. And you don't shirk from that duty. of serving. You just do it. Just like we do here. You get up, like if you've got a family, you have to provide for them. And you get up every day and you go face traffic and you go face an irate boss that you don't like and you haven't liked him for, you know, 15, 20 years, but you're still doing it. Why? Because there's something bigger than yourself out there to accomplish, right? So you grunt those hard times, because what happens once you hit that mighty, almighty retirement? You get to finally quit, right? Now our retirement comes when this life is over. And it's saying that we should know that there are no shortcuts. There's absolutely no shortcuts in getting to heaven. There's no shortcuts in how we live our lives. We can't live a little bit in sin and be acceptable to God. There's no way. Only God and your brethren will see you through. It's God who sent His Son to the cross to die for you and me. It was Jesus who took up that task and came to earth to live that perfect life and be that perfect sacrifice. As we sit here together, I want you to think about your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to think about your walk. Have you been walking strong? Or have you fallen off the path? If you have, you need to make yourself right. You can do that from where you sit in your pew, or you can do that by coming forward. In any event, make sure you're right. Because we want, especially I want, to see you in heaven when this life is over. So, if there's any subject to the Lord's invitation, what I want you to do is be honest with yourself and come forward while we stand and sing.